Welcome to Her Desired Haven Podcast. Hi, I'm LaShondra, and today's episode is my testimony. Yes, I am preparing to tell my story, my testimony, although there are so many different areas that I'll dive in deeper into in future episodes, but I'm just going to generally just kind of run down my life from my younger years to the present time. I will be 31 this year, December 17th. This is 2021. I will be 31 years old. So I'm going to just share my story because I feel our stories are valuable. Our stories are important. Our stories are the very thing that could lead someone to Jesus. Like, so I just want to be able to authentically, fearlessly, and transparently share my testimony, my story, my life. And I pray that it really help and inspire and encourage and uplift someone else, because I really feel God is using me in a mighty way and He wants to be able to reach other people through this. So here it goes. So let's go back to the younger years. I had a pretty decent childhood. It was a pretty good childhood. I grew up in the northern suburbs of Chicago. And as a kid, I was very, very reserved, kind of kept to myself. Some would say I was shy or quiet, but I mean, I really wasn't. I just was a very observant person. I've always been that way. Even today, I'm still a very observant person. But I think today, like, I'm more outgoing at times. I'm still to myself, though. I don't know. I still am introverted, but extroverted at the same time, if that's even possible. I don't know. But so in elementary school, I would say I was plagued with a lot of fear, a lot of fear. I literally lived in fear and anxiety, and it kept me from doing a lot of things that I wanted to do in my life. And I was very, very insecure. I did as well experience a lot of bullying around the sixth grade. I remember I was attending one school for 5 years, and then I transferred to a completely different school. And so it was a whole new environment. I really didn't know that many people, and I had experienced bullying. And so that also, interestingly, was around the time that I really developed a relationship with Christ. And I remember my mom asking me, because I had, you know, told her about the bullying, my teacher about the bullying, asked me, did I want to go to a private Christian school? And I said, yeah. Well, I never went, but I do remember that kind of being a pivotal point in my life where I really started to take my relationship with God seriously. I began to pray, and I would go to church, and I would actually listen to the message and what the pastor was saying. And so I will always remember that around sixth or seventh grade, that area is when I really started to follow Christ and accepted God into my life.
When I was younger, there was a lot of drinking and alcoholism in the family. And I didn't realize exactly how bad it was until I was much older, honestly. In particular, my dad struggled a lot with drinking. When we were younger, we were around that a lot.
A little family background. I am the youngest of three. We are all 2 years equally apart from each other. And my parents were married, I would say, until I was in about sixth or seventh grade. And then they divorced around that time. And sad to say, I was actually happy when they got divorced. Like, I can remember it like it was yesterday. I was so happy that they finally got divorced. And I know that sounds bad, but from my perspective, it brought peace. Like, they were always arguing, and it brought peace. So I was actually happy when that happened, because I was just tired of having to constantly listen to, you know, them arguing and fighting and things like that. My junior year of high school, I attended a new school, and I had been going to the same schools, I guess, in the same city, like, pretty much my whole life. But my junior year of high school, I attended a school in another state because I was living with my mom at the time. And so at this school, I really didn't know anyone, so it was a new experience for me. I had went to school with the other, you know, people I was going to school with since like kindergarten, first grade, elementary school, middle school. So I had pretty much knew a lot of people. So my junior year, I had went to a whole new school and a whole new state, and I didn't know a lot of people. It was actually at that school that I met my best friend, and he was actually became my very first boyfriend. And we met, and so after about 3 months, he moved out of state. And so we kind of lost contact, and I just remember it feeling so devastated, and just, I remember crying. I was so heartbroken. We were like kind of together for a little while, and then a couple months later, he just disappeared off the face of the earth. Like literally he left and moved, and I didn't hear from him. And I didn't have a way to contact him either. And so I just remember being so devastated because of that and never having closure. I'll leave that there because I'll come back to that later. Never really having closure either because of that. I went to college. Let me see. At first, I was doing well. Okay. Well, first, let me go back. My first year of college, actually, I was trying to go to college in California. It was too expensive and end up not being able to move and live on campus. So I had to switch last minute to online classes. And so I switched to online classes, failed miserably. After that, I transferred to another school. It was in Chicago, downtown Chicago. And at first I was doing really well. I was on the dean's list. I had a high GPA and was really challenging myself to excel and perform well. Then after a while, I just kind of, I guess, got distracted by relationships and just roommates and all kind of other things like that. I was really struggling during that time with identity, with my faith, with sinning, being in an environment where we were living on campus and just being surrounded by so many different people and influences, excuse me, that was leading me further from Christ. All the while I was praying and repenting the whole time, while I was fornicating and doing different things that didn't glorify God, I was praying at the same time, and I would cry and I would feel so bad, and I would repent and ask God for help during this time, because I didn't want to do those things and didn't know why I was doing those things. But I think at the time I was struggling with identity, and I was really searching for something, and I had low self-esteem, and those things I thought would help me, and it actually made things worse. My college journey abruptly ended. At the time, I was in a long-distance relationship with my high school sweetheart, my first boyfriend that I had. We had reconnected online. We began to talk to one another again. And so we decided that we wanted to date long-distance. He was in another state still. While I was in college, we began a long-distance relationship. And he was literally on the other side of the country. Very far from me. There was no way he was going to be able to come and visit, you know, often at least, because he was so far. And we both were pretty young at the time, didn't really have much money. I was in school. He was living with family, I think, at the time. He was like, he had been in and out of foster care and things of that nature. So, you know, we weren't really in the position to do much. Eventually, sadly, right before my last semester of school, during my senior year, I had to financially withdraw because I could no longer afford my school. And it's so sad and so petty how the school did that. Like, I don't know what was going on. Like, I don't know what happened, but I had maxed out all loans, scholarships, financial aid, and I still had a balance after that. And so I could not afford to finish my degree, which I was literally almost done. This school was on, it wasn't on semesters. I think it was on quarters. The quarters were like 10 weeks long or something. I was like 2 quarters away from getting my bachelor's degree. And then I had to withdraw financially because I couldn't afford it, which was so heartbreaking for me and so sad, because at that point I would have been the first person in my family, in my immediate family, to graduate with a bachelor's degree. Mind you, I am the youngest. out of my mom, my dad, my brother, and my sister. I'm the youngest, and I would have been the first. And so that was so devastating for me. So that's how my college journey abruptly ended. During my senior year, I had to withdraw. That was like kind of put on the shelf for years at that point. And not to mention, towards the end of my senior year, I was pregnant. I was pregnant by my boyfriend, which we were long distance at the time, my very first boyfriend that I had back in high school. It was the same person. So we were pregnant with our first child, my first son. My son's father decided to move closer so that he could be here. So around 7 months, I think when I was 7 months pregnant, which for me, this was like a huge red flag, but I'll get back to that later. So he moved out here when I was about 7 months pregnant. And it was sad because I had to cry and beg him to come. And I shouldn't have had to do all that and go through being pregnant, you know, by myself. And so that's what I meant by the red flag. But I'll go more in detail about that later. So at this point, when he moved here, he proposed to me. We were engaged to be married. And so when he came and flew in, he proposed to me at the airport. It wasn't like a big event or anything. It was just like kind of just, I don't know. It wasn't a big deal. And so, and there wasn't a bunch of people surround us. It was literally just me and him. So he proposed to me. I didn't really respond. I mean, it was really weird. I don't know. But he proposed to me. So we were engaged. That was kind of the beginning of our life together here in Illinois, where I lived. That relationship kind of became extremely toxic after a while. This relationship lasted, I would say, for about 5 years. We had another child together. I also legally adopted his daughter, which she's the oldest of the three. I legally adopted her. Slowly but surely, this relationship had proved to not be God's best for me, clearly, but I continued to ignore the red flags. We struggled so much financially, so I was committed to him, but he didn't value me at all. In fact, I felt kind of like, especially now looking back, that he was just using me as a means of support in a way. So, I really felt like he did not value me. He didn't really love me like he should have loved me. He didn't respect me or my boundaries that I put in place. And he was taking me further and further away from God, honestly. And I just knew it. I knew something wasn't right. I felt it. I saw all the red flags, but I tried so hard to make it work. I ignored it, but things just got worse. In this relationship, I suffered mental, verbal, and emotional abuse. And I'm just now realizing, too, there was some financial abuse in there as well, which I didn't even know was like a thing at the time. There was financial abuse as well. And at the very tail end of our relationship, it became very physical in the end. And I guess I didn't believe it was abuse because initially it wasn't physical. It was just all emotional. It was all mental manipulation, deception, control, those sorts of things. I didn't really know that those were types of abuse. You know, I thought, hey, I'm not being hit. I'm good. We're okay. You know, I'm not being abused because it wasn't physical at first. But by the very end, when it did get physical, it was just like, okay, this is too much. Throughout the relationship, though, I continued to ignore every red flag. And so the relationship became very toxic and violent. Like it wasn't safe for anybody at that point. And so my mental health began to suffer, and so was his. I want to mention that he did struggle so greatly with mental health. Like, it really impaired him and his ability to be able to function sometimes. It got really bad. I would be left to take care of all three of the kids on my own. And so it was very hard because I also had this great desire in need. Like, I really felt like, man, I could take care of him, or I had to take care of him. Like, I wanted to help him. I wanted to be able to take care of him. I wanted to be able to be that person that was there for him, supporting him through it. Although we were still engaged at the time, we were not married. In fact, we never did ever get married. We were still engaged. We were living together in our own place with our three kids. And so he would be in and out of the hospital, and it was really hard on me. But I was steady trying to hold on to this image, wanting a perfect family, wanting that perfect marriage, that perfect life. But it was like, what's the cost? I was suffering in this relationship, and so was he. I was literally dying inside and going through many bouts of depression and anxiety. And my anxiety was literally at an all-time high at this point. It was the highest that I've ever experienced it. I continued to, even going through all this, try to put on a facade and pretend like everything was okay. I just knew that it wasn't, and that it wasn't going to work, but I just continued to try. I had to leave because it was literally the choice of leaving or it was my life. Like, it was like a life or death situation to me at this point. I had to choose God this time. I had to choose me. And I'm so grateful to God that I was able to leave that relationship with my life and with my sanity, with my three children, to still have my peace of mind now, because things could have been a lot worse. There were many times that I could have moved on, and I even tried a couple times to leave him and leave that situation. But my undeniable love for this person and my high hopes that we could build a family, that we could break those chains and defeat the odds, that idea, that image just kept reeling me back in. I wanted things to work. And that spirit of perfectionism and just people pleasing and needing to look a certain way and wanting things to look good for, you know, posting pictures online so that people could see my family was good, that sort of thing. It's what was behind it was pain and suffering and struggling and the truth. And I had to leave. I had to leave. It was so important that I leave that situation because it was life or death. It took lots of prayer and God completely delivering me from that situation. It took me almost losing my life, my health, my sanity, my children, for me to get to the point where I'm like, okay, enough is enough, to get some strength to be able to walk away and not just leave, but stay away. I am literally a walking and living testimony that Jesus is King. Going through that whole relationship, I was praying. Even in the midst of all that chaos, I never ceased praying. I was asking God to save me. I'm like, God, please save me. This can't be it. Like, this isn't right. I shouldn't be struggling like this financially. I shouldn't be experiencing this and being treated like this. Praying daily for God to change my situation and to save me. And I know that he saw every tear that I cried. I know that he heard every prayer that I prayed, because I'm here today. I want you to know that when you pray to him, he listens. And when your faith is strong and God's grace and mercy is upon your life, that there is nothing that anyone can do to hurt or harm you or stand in your way. After that relationship, mind you, we had been engaged the whole time and never married. We were engaged for literally years, never got married. It was about 5 years, I think. We never got married. We even had gotten a marriage license at one point. We got our marriage license and everything, but God called it off. I broke my lease, left with the kids. We had to move several times with different family members and things like that, which was really hard for me, especially with children. You know, kids are loud, people get annoyed really easily, and they say they want to help, but when it comes down to it and you actually need people to help you and to be that support, I found out quickly that, you know, even with close family, like it just didn't work out. And people, they try to help, but people really not trying to help. Like some people, not all people, I won't say that, but it was just a hard situation to be in. And I had to move several times with the kids. It was very sad that the people that should have been in my corner helping me seemed to be kicking me when I was down. And so it was really difficult, a depressing time for me. I was fresh out of intensive outpatient therapy. I had to go to a 6-week outpatient therapy program to get help because just of the depression, depressive feelings, sadness, and even anger at this point. I was angry. I took a part in this program and it really helped me, honestly. Definitely an advocate for getting therapy and counseling and things like that, because it really helped me, and not just me, but my children as well. It really helped us heal through everything that we experienced and went through. It helped us tremendously. And, you know, even today, I'm still advocating for it and still participating and trying to participate in counseling and therapy as needed throughout my life. Like, as I need it, I'm always going to participate in therapy and counseling, because it does help you. I feel like you have to find what works for you, whether it's group therapy, whether it's individual therapy and counseling. You have to find what works for you, but it definitely helps to be able to talk to someone, to be able to get someone who's not biased, someone who's a professional, someone who's from the outside looking in. They're not involved in any way, shape, or form, be able to help you heal and see different parts of yourself, or learn why you do things the way you do them, or mentalities, or, you know, it just really helps you to learn who you are as a person, why you move the way you move, why you speak the way you speak and do certain things a certain way. And not just for you, but for your entire family. In general, I think it's very important. And I will say this, I just would like to mention that I am in no way speaking negatively about my children's father. I just want to share my experience and the facts of just what I went through. And this did happen years ago. So in the present day, I've forgiven him. There are no harsh feelings towards him. I've forgiven him, and he is active and present in his kid's life. And we communicate all the time for the sake of our children. I just want to make sure that people understand that the importance of forgiveness, no matter what was done. And I'm grateful to God that he gave me the ability to get to that point. I'm just speaking the truth and what happened in my experience, because we are at a better space now. We're doing what we need to do for our children. Eventually, God opened the door and I was able to move into my very own apartment with my kids. We all were still healing and trying to rebuild our lives. And we were in therapy at one point. We all were in therapy at one point. Also, I eventually legally adopted, as I said before, his child, his daughter, which I just originally had guardianship. Then I had custody at one point, and then eventually I was able to legally adopt her. So we had two children together. And the oldest child is adopted, but I was already taking care of her prior to that. So she was already mine to begin with before she, you know, even moved to live with us. I was praying for her, and I always considered her a part of my life regardless. So, yeah, so I had the three children. And so eventually God opened the door for us to get our own place. And so I was so grateful. It was so divinely aligned how it happened. And I would say a year. It took about a year, a little over a year, and we had our own place. And we were at that point beginning to rebuild our lives and heal and grow. And I'm so grateful for, you know, God just making that happen for us, because we desperately needed our own space after living with so many other people. I ended up returning to school. Holy Spirit really confirmed it in me. He really confirmed it in me and led me to try to return to school to get my degree. And so me, I'm like, okay. So Holy Spirit had confirmed in me so many different times on different occasions that I was returning back to school. Now, at this point, it's been like 6 years since I left school when I had to financially withdraw. I'm like, I'm an entrepreneur now. I literally gave up on the idea of returning back to school. I didn't even care anymore. I wasn't planning on doing it. I didn't really want to. I had already started my own business. I had a blog. I did graphic design, which my degree was in graphic design and video production when I was in school. So it was like I was already doing what my degree was in. I already had so many other jobs and experiences that were relevant to what my degree was in when I was in school. And now I had my own business. So this was not me. This was all God. That's how I know, because I didn't even want to go back. I gave up on it, you know? And so through this business, I did so many things. I held my first community closet, which was like a charitable event where I gave away free clothes to the community, free household goods and different things where the community could fill up their bag with as much things as they wanted to. And it was all free. I did that through the business. So I had no plans nor a desire of even returning back to school. Like, I wasn't even thinking about it. But God just kept putting it in my spirit and confirming it, you know, in me. And it was prophesied to me by people as well. And so I had given up on it, but then I started to be like, okay, let me seek your face, like truly in this, and really get confirmation that this is what you want me to do. Because at this point, I had owed my school over $10,000, and there was no way I was paying that. Like, there was no way. And so it was literally like 6 or 7 years. It had been 6 or 7 years since I financially withdrew, but God continued to press on my heart. And so I was going to return to school. I had made up my mind, okay, God, I'm going to return to school in 2019. I started applying to school and I did my FAFSA. I began to speak it. I remember hearing often from the Holy Spirit that it will be forgiven. It will be forgiven. I didn't know how this was going to happen, but I had such strong faith in God and what He had confirmed in me that I just kept continue to write it and journal it down and to speak. It is forgiven. That tuition balance is forgiven. And I was actually homeschooling at the time as well. I remember having to pull my children out of school. It just got really bad at one point with, you know, the school not having enough teachers, support, them not being able to fully help kids that been through things that have like ADHD and PTSD and anxiety and different mental health conditions or behavioral health conditions. I noticed that the public schools in my area and a lot of public schools are not equipped with the right tools and knowledge and skills and enough teachers and things and support to be able to help those kids. I had to pull my children out and I began to homeschool them on my own. It was a process and a journey, definitely. I was homeschooling one of my sons, and then eventually when and this was like at the tail end of the school year, and eventually once the next school year started, I just pulled them all out and I was homeschooling all three of them. This was very difficult. Okay, I didn't know how I was going to return to school and be homeschooling at the same time. I didn't think it was possible. I'm like, okay, God, what is really going on? What you trying to have me do? I don't know what's going on. Like, how am I going to do this and go to school full time? But I'm like, you know what, God, if this is what you want me to do, you're going to make a way. And He did that very thing. So I ended up returning to school, and oh my God, this is such a huge testimony of God's sovereign power and His greatness. Let me rewind back. So returning to school, I had in my mind, okay, that I was going to go back to school in 2019. Back in 2019, I had won a $1,000 scholarship. Like, I wasn't playing. I was applying to scholarships left and right. I'm like, God, you said I'm going back. You said I'm not going to have to pay nothing out of pocket, no more loans, no more debt. If this is what you want me to do, God, provide the means. I was applying to scholarships left and right. I did my FAFSA. Like, I was not playing. And so I actually won one of my scholarships and it was for $1,000. So I was like, okay, God, I won the scholarship for a reason. This must be really about to happen. I wrote so many letters to my school president, the director, all the members on the board. Like, I wasn't playing. Like, I was like, come on, God, you're going to do it. So I wrote letters to every important person at that school that would have the ability to kind of forgive my balance so that I could return. So I asked them, could they forgive it? They rejected my request. I asked and wrote the letters and I emailed them a second time, I believe, as well. They rejected me again and they denied it. And then they offered me to set up a payment plan and said, we don't have any programs to where you can have this forgiven. We don't have any, you know, I think some schools have that where you spend a certain amount of time out of school and they have a program you can have your balance forgiven. They just said, no, we don't have anything and we're not forgiving it for the second time. No. And so that was so discouraging, but I try to just stay encouraged and continue to focus on what God told me. And he said that balance was going to be forgiven and that I was returning to school. God at one moment and at one point told me to just be still. Fall 2019 came. I couldn't enroll in school, but I didn't stop believing in what God said because I knew what he said and I knew it was going to happen because I knew what I heard. So 2020 comes around, January comes, I hear the Holy Spirit say, you're going to return to school this fall, as clear as day. So I once again get on it with the scholarships. I'm applying to tons and tons of scholarships. I'm doing my FAFSA and getting ready and getting in position and in alignment. God can and will do it. I just have to be in position. I have to be prepared and I have to be ready for what he's promised me. And so that's exactly what I was doing. There was nothing more that I can do in my own power. It was at the point where it was like, okay, God, I did everything. I applied to the school. I did my FAFSA. I'm applying to scholarships left and right. All my transcripts, the school had everything. It was all up to God at that point. Then COVID happened. Now, I still knew that God had promised that I was going to return to school. I know that he doesn't lie. So I didn't give up and I continued to prepare to go to school. And so I applied to the school. I made sure that all my documents were in. Then I contacted the admissions lady and she said, okay, we have everything. Everything's good. We just have a financial hold that needs to be cleared up. And so the deadline passed to pay tuition in full for the fall 2020 semester. And so I'm like, okay, God, I know what you said. I'm like literally praising you in advance because it's already done. So I kept checking my application status and it continues to say financial hold each and every time I logged in. Classes for the fall 2020 were about to start this very month. It was in August 2020, I believe it was. Classes were set to start August 31st. This lingering $10,000 balance from 2012 was still there. And I was like, okay, the school still was not budging on forgiving this balance. And it was really just nerve-wracking because it was like crunch time, right? And so one day I had gotten an email. And so I'm homeschooling my kids and I'm helping my son with his work. I glanced down at my phone just briefly. I see that I had an email. Later, something told me to look at it and check it and see what it was. It was from my school, obviously. And so this email from the school looked a little bit different from the typical marketing, like, you know, the general emails that they send to everybody. So I opened it up and the title read application decision. And I'm like, what? What is going on? At this point, I think school was set to start in about 2 weeks or so. So I opened it up and confetti flew like in the email. You know how you can put like the confetti on the email? It flew everywhere. And then it read, you have been admitted. When I tell you, I fell on the floor and cried and just thanked God. Just as God said, my balance was forgiven. My balance would be zero. The balance was forgiven. That was the best part. Not only did they accept my application and I was admitted, but that balance just completely disappeared. I didn't have to pay back any of that money. And I just knew at that point, like, you cannot tell me that there's not a God, okay? because everything that he promised me, it truly came to pass in that moment. And I just was like on the floor crying because everything he promised, it literally happened. And he was literally Jehovah Jireh. He was that my provider in that moment. And I was so humbled and so in awe and so grateful for what God did for me. And not just for me, but everyone attached to me, because this is bigger than me. So after 8 years, I finally returned to school, to college. And as a senior, they kept all my credits and everything. Everything transferred perfectly. So I was a senior and I literally had 1 year. And then I would graduate with my bachelor's degree in graphic design. So 8 years. 8 years is a long time to take a break from school and return. But I'm so humbled and grateful that I was able to return and complete my degree. All the classes were online, of course, because of COVID. And it worked perfectly because, as I said, I was homeschooling at the same time, full time homeschooling my kids. I was homeschooling before COVID, but during COVID, when I returned to school, I was homeschooling full time. I was attending school myself full time. And everything being online worked just seamlessly with, you know, my family dynamic and everything that I had going on at the time. But God was not done. Even after that, that's not even the best part, honestly. Like, my school is, it was a private non-for-profit institution, aka it was expensive. Okay, so I believe the tuition was about $14,000 per semester at the time. And so God just blew me away with this. I didn't pay not 1 cent out of pocket. It was all paid with internal and external scholarships and grants that I applied to and qualified for. I didn't owe the school any money at all. In fact, I received numerous refund checks. I received so much more money that they were paying me eventually, like, for going to school. Literally, I received, because of all of the grants and scholarships and funding that I got, I was able to complete this last year of my college education 100% debt free. I didn't pay not a penny out of pocket. It was all scholarships and grants. I didn't take out any loans and took on no more debt, because I did have debt from, you know, previously going to school when I initially started my program before I financially withdrew. So I was so grateful that I was able to finish this year without taking on any more debt. And God really proved and showed me that He is my provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. He can and will provide all of my needs. As I walked in obedience, just doing what He called me to do, returning to school in His divine time, according to His will, and He provided the means to do it to where I didn't have to pay anything. Congratulations to me. I graduated May 2021 with my Bachelor of Applied Science in Graphic Design. Y'all, I started my program, my very first year of college, was back in 2009. And I didn't complete my degree until 2021. So I'm proud of myself. I am the first to receive a bachelor degree in my family, and I'm the youngest in my family. I'm the baby out of my mom, my dad, my older brother and sister. I'm the very first to complete that degree. So this is a big deal. Like, I'm not ashamed that it took me so long of the journey that God placed me on. I'm not ashamed. I'm very proud of accomplishing this, because it's bigger than me. You know, my whole family is able to see that it's possible and that you don't have to be ashamed. No matter how long it takes you, you can always return and go back to school. So you should not be ashamed either. If you want to go back to school and finish, no matter how long the break, or maybe you never went, do it, because God's going to get the glory in it. And there's someone else out there who wants to go back to school, who wants to get their degree, but they might feel that they are too old for it. I say, go for it. If God's calling you to do it, do it. Fearlessly, humbly, obediently, do whatever it is that God is calling you to do. Anyone can voice their thoughts, their disagreements with what you're doing. But as long as you're being obedient to God, then other people's opinions does not matter. God's timing is perfect. His timing is so perfect. No matter how long something might take us, you know, we have our own perceptions of what things will be like, but we have to understand that God's timing is perfect, is divine, and that He's in control. With all that I've been through, I shouldn't even be alive right now, honestly. But God is in control. And I am so excited and so proud of what God has graced me to be able to accomplish. Not many people in my family have done this. And me being one of the youngest to do this is truly amazing in my eyes. And I believe that I am inspiring others to do the very same. Surprisingly, I was even nominated to interview as the commencement speaker for graduation. Now, this was a surprise to me. Like, I did not expect this, but I was definitely grateful and humble. Although I did not get chosen, I was still grateful and humbled for the opportunity and that someone even nominated me, because you had to be nominated by someone. You know, you couldn't just interview. Someone had to nominate you for that. So I was definitely humbled. I was honored to be even thought of for such a role. And I was grateful for the opportunity, definitely. So what's next? Law school. God has really placed it on my heart to pursue a law degree. So I'm actively applying to law school right now. I've taken the LSAT and everything. I'm actively applying. I think I want to retake the LSAT actually. So y'all just pray for me in my journey to my JD degree. Pray for me and my family. I'm no longer homeschooling, but I am raising my kids as a single mom. And so there are so many other like things that God has really placed on my heart to do right now, including this podcast and many other things. So just pray for me, my health, my mental health and physical health and well-being, as well as for my children, that we will be able to have all of the love and support and the right people surrounding us that will be needed for this next chapter of our lives, you know, as I pursue my law school degree. So that brings us to the present day, December 2021. I am 30 years old, about to be 31 in about a week. I am a single mother of three kids, a college graduate, entrepreneur, and a prospective law school student. I'm a survivor and a woman who truly is surrendered and committed to and loves God. Jesus is my everything and the only reason why I am here to tell you my story, and He gets all the glory. As I bring this testimony to a close, I just want to thank you for listening thus far. Y'all, I know it was a long one and I haven't even really covered everything here today, but I really pray that my story blesses someone. I pray that it encourages you, that it uplifts you, and that it lets you know that God is with you. So if you can take away anything from my story, it will be the following. Your life matters, and you should never be ashamed to tell your story. No matter what you do, always seek to glorify God. Don't ignore the red flags in relationships, and abuse can come in many forms. Live a life of surrender to Christ in every area. Surrender it to God. Last, no matter where life takes you, remain fearless, humble, and obedient. Fearless with the power of Christ, humble, allowing God to lead you, and obedient, always praying and asking God, "Is this your will, Lord? Will this bring you glory? Is this what you want me to do? And if so, go forth without doubt, without delay or hesitation. Just trust God, because it's God's will and His way." Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. So grateful I was able to share my testimony with you. Please share this with someone else. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. I really want to build a community where we can come together and we all can share our stories, our testimonies, and really edify, encourage, and uplift one another. So thank you so much for tuning in. See you next time.